You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we are wrapping up our series in Prepared with a Reason from Concordia Publishing House. Looking forward to this one as we get to eschatology, another ology, fun ology word that we're going to talk about and what does this mean. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend James Hunick. He's pastor of First Lutheran Church in El Cajon, California, and he's written the topic, the last topic in this book, Life After Death, in Prepared with a Reason. Pastor Hunick, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm interested in digging into this topic because it involves another fun big word, eschatology, and we're going to talk about human purpose and life after or in death and worldviews on that. So what are some worldviews or worldly visions regarding human purpose and what happens after death or in death?
So there's a couple of different visions that compete with the Christian vision about kind of the direction that all creation is going. And that's really what eschatology is about, is like, where are we all going? The two big ones that I see are this idea of material progress, is that all of creation, everything is moving towards a utopian state of some sort, whether it's through secular means or through spiritual means. It's this a post-millennial view that everything is progressing until we get to a utopia and then perfection, whether that's Christ's return or Star Trek, the effect is the same. You get this beautiful, perfect, amazing world that we are just slowly and inevitably progressing to. The other vision is a vision of the material world as something that is either dirty or maybe even evil. And we have this like crass, sort of broken world. And the goal of the human life is to escape or maybe to evolve beyond this physical plane and get into some sort of better place. And there are both kind of sacred and secular versions of this too. There's a Christian version of this where the goal is to die and be a spirit, sort of be this floaty thing forever. And there's also a secular sort of version where it's about our minds, and maybe you go off into this spiritual plane, move on to a better existence, go to a better place, all the different euphemisms that we use. But these two views of the future really identify and are popular in the rest of the world.
Where did these assumptions, these visions come from?
Well, they're both pretty old. The idea that the material plane is dirty comes all the way back from the Greeks. You can see things like Plato and Socrates. They imagine human beings as being pure spirit, and that is really what is good. The physical world is something to be escaped. And so even when Socrates is forced to take hemlock as his judgment, he's just kind of happy about it. He's like, I'm going to something better. And it acts as if the world around us is just kind of a thing you have to go through or a bump in the road towards your real purpose.
Until you become a floaty thing.
Until you become a floaty thing in whatever spiritual plane that exists. It's really hard to describe in any real accurate way. So when we describe this sort of thing, people tend to describe it with physical terms. So they'll talk, like if somebody dies, they talk about dying and going to a better place. They'll say Uncle George is fishing in a river forever. But I mean, it's a spiritual plane, so there's no physicality. And which is why I use turn into a floaty thing, because it really accurately describes that idea of humanity. Because if we use physical language to talk about the spiritual plane, you're actually talking about a physical thing. And if you're going to be a spirit, you have no body. You can't be fishing forever or, you know, in the cabin forever or whatever euphemisms people talk about, it's always going to be a floaty thing, an immaterial existence.
I like that technical term, floaty thing.
It's the best way, absolutely.
So these worldly visions of human purpose and what happens after life really come from a variety of places that have a long history. And what does that mean then as Christians when we encounter these? And maybe perhaps we've even embraced these or fallen into some of these assumptions ourselves as Christians. Is it easy for us to fall into these assumptions as Christians?
Absolutely. In fact, I think most of us secretly harbor these assumptions because we live in a world where these assumptions are primary. I think the material progress assumption is like the heart of the American experience. And most of us have a version of that in our life and our society. And I don't know about you, with the material despair idea, is I was kind of taught that when I was growing up as a Christian. Most of us, in the people that I talk to and the people I run into in my church, they believed that the idea of Christianity was to die and go to heaven and be with Christ forever in the floaty place. And that's a version of material despair. The world is gross. Life is all about flying away and being with Jesus in the clouds. And I bet many of us have that idea in our thinking and speaking in Christian language, even though it's not really a Christian vision of the future.
How does our view of suffering and the point of suffering play into all of this?
Well, that's a great question. The point of suffering. I think we have a view of suffering that actually says it has no point. Very often we see suffering simply as an evil, something that must be avoided at all times. And, you know, and we have a Savior who suffered. And so suffering is truly redeemed by his suffering to bring us through death into eternal life. And so the idea of bearing a cross in life for a greater purpose, it really gives meaning to our own physicality and to our suffering. And so the material progress view of the world says that there is a way to eliminate all suffering, and that if we just do things correctly, if we order society correctly, we pull enough levers, flip enough switches, learn enough stuff, we can eventually end suffering and create like a Garden of Eden here on Earth. And that is definitely not a Christian understanding of the world. And I don't understand how people can see it, because the more we do, the weirder we get. Like, the more we learn, the more we learn how to hurt each other, and the more powerful we get, the more suffering. And every solution comes with problems. And so I don't understand how many people cling to this idea. Like, if we can just do fill in the blank perfection, and then we come up with a fill in the blank and it never works. But suffering then is the thing that we go through to provide for the people around us. And that's really what bearing a cross is all about in daily life, is that parents, they take on the suffering of working and providing so that their children can live. And we take on the service of daily life so that the people around us can live. And that's kind of the human purpose, is to bear the suffering of a fallen world to make the lives of people around us better.
The theology of the cross is so valuable, but yet often set aside. Some of the examples that you've given in these worldviews, whether it's material despair or ongoing progression, both sound a lot like they're, especially if we're to try to Christianize them in some way, they both end up in moralism, really. Which is
certainly
nowhere near theology of the cross, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They always end up in, and I, they always end up in looking at human beings as the agents of creation rather than God as the one who is doing it all. And the purpose of human life is to navigate this tricky set of whatever so they can finally get to the goal, rather than simply, I'm going to do my duty. God has given me a task and a path to walk, and he's going to handle the rest. He's going to handle the progression of history. He's going to handle global events. He's going to handle politics and society. I can just focus here on what I need to do. God will take care of everything else. And what I just said, that's the Christian vision, is that God's going to handle things outside of my grasp. I'm going to take care of my family, my life, my church, my community, whatever it is that's within my vocation. That is what I take care of. And God handles all the other things, including how all those other things interact with my daily life.
We're talking with Pastor James Hunick, pastor of First Lutheran Church in El Cajon, California, in our Prepared with a Reason series. We have more to talk about eschatology right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Pastor James Hunick about eschatology in the Prepared with a Reason series from Concordia Publishing House. And boy, this is fascinating when you really start thinking about what we believe about what happens after death and how that affects how we live here in our lives on earth. And you've talked about these two visions, this material progression, material despair. Where do we see these things in our daily lives? How has this kind of just these two things infiltrated our culture and how we live?
So I think today, when I look around, I see almost exclusively a material progression worldview. So I want to hold off on that for a bit. When I look at the past, I see a lot more focus on the material despair worldview. And you can look back at sci-fi a little bit and see some of that. The Stargate SG-1 series had this progression of humanity that the goal was to move beyond the physical, and like the real enlightened ones became pure energy. And I think that's a thing of the past, something of like continental philosophy, where the real reality is mental rationality or being pure thought and pure energy. I don't see it as much outside of the Christian church with the like dying going to heaven. I think more and more I see a fight over the material progress philosophy being happening. And that's because I think most of us have made the assumption over time that life generally just gets better and the humanity is continually progressing towards a beautiful goal. And the thing that is stopping us right now is our political enemies. And everywhere I hear people talking about how great the past was, and if only we can get back to the thing that made us beautiful, we can then proceed to perfection. And there's both secular and sacred versions of this, where if we can go back to like our Puritan roots and just make this Christian America amazing, then our churches will be full and everything will be awesome and organs will play everywhere and all the bad things will be gone. And similarly, other people will say, well, if we can just teach people enough, if we can science enough, if we can whatever enough, all the bad things will be gone. And the reason all those bad things aren't gone is because the other guys are stopping it. And that seems to be built into our American assumptions right now. And it's really super dangerous.
If we can science enough.
I love it. That's amazing.
If we can science enough, we get to the floaty thing, the floaty place.
Mm-hmm.
So part of, so that was the ongoing progression. You mentioned material despair as well. You see that all around us. Any comments about material despair that you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, it's the material despair, I think, mostly is kind of in Christian thought, the idea of dying and going to heaven. And it's a dispensational idea with the rapture, is like everything in the world is constantly getting worse. And God is, we just have to bear with it and watch it all crumble. And then Jesus will appear and our clothes will be left behind and airplanes will crash and, you know, and then we'll be fine. It's becoming, I think it's less popular out in the world than it used to be, mostly a thing of the past. And right now we're moving into a progressivist worldview generally, as far as just life and everything.
One of the ideas behind this curriculum, Prepared with Reason, is to prepare our students as they go off to college for the plethora of worldviews they will encounter. As you're looking at this topic, as you were preparing for this topic of eschatology and worldviews regarding purpose of life and what happens after death or in death, what do you want your college students from your congregation and from other congregations to know as they prepare to go off to college or other settings where they're going to encounter a whole plethora of worldviews? What are some of the key things that you really want them to know and to be prepared for?
I think the first thing is we really need to be clear with what the actual Christian story is. We've spent quite a bit of time talking about the other visions, and we should really be clear that the Christian story is rooted in the story of Genesis and the story of Christ. And the fall means is that our life will always be filled with some form of suffering because we're sinners, and that no amount of progress can ever get us past the fact that every human being is a sinner. And whatever we do, there will be positives and negatives. There will be helps and harms. And no matter how good, no matter how strong, no matter how wise, no matter how powerful, life will always have things that are fallen. And our goal is to bear the crosses of our current reality, live our vocation, serve until Christ returns and makes all things new. And what that means is that history could get better. Like, things generally have gotten better. And that's why people have such a progressivistic view, is because for many, many years, things have gotten better. But they might get worse. And there are many times in history when they did. Rome fell and life got worse for a lot of people. And that could happen. But our job is not to navigate that, but to simply stay true to Christ, live out our vocation, wait for his return. And as long as you have this idea that this world is not perfectible, you are going to be suspicious of people who say that it is. People who say, just trust me and we can make things perfect. Trust the science, trust the reasons, trust us that if you just do what we say, everything will be great. And I think as long as we have this idea that the world is fallen and will remain fallen until Christ returns, then we can have some healthy suspicion of the claims of the rest of the world. While at the same time, we also need to remember that God made creation very good, and that he built human beings to be body and soul. He formed us from the dirt and breathed the breath of life into us, which means that our bodies are essential pieces of who we are. And so we need to see that too. So there's no like, we don't care about the body, we only care about the soul. None of that stuff. We're in the world, we are part of the creation, and our entire life is existence of service and love in this world until Christ returns and makes all things new. And so being fit into this narrative is the key to being suspicious of the false ones. And that's the heart of, I think, what I tried to do with this Prepared for a Reason, is to show how the Christian narrative is different from the things that we hear around us.
Why is this topic interesting to you? Why is it important to you to make sure that young people and high schoolers and young adults and adults understand what we believe and what the world tries to tell us?
I think it's because I used to follow some of these other understandings. You know, I told you earlier, I was raised in a church where the idea was to die and go to heaven. And then I went to the seminary and Dr. Gibbs would just sit. I would hear people say, like in a lecture, you know, there's a congregation with 100 souls, and he'd whisper, "and bodies." And I was like, huh, well, that's kind of interesting. What does he mean? And I realized through his, you know, like subversive stuff, that creation actually is good, and that I actually am embodied, and that my body isn't just like a hindrance, but a thing that God has given me, and that I'll rise from the dead on the last day and not be a floaty thing. And that's a big deal. And I can stand at a funeral and point to the casket and say, this body will rise from the dead. And wow, that's so much better than floating. And that's why I'm so excited about it, because I actually am kind of a convert to the Christian story when I was training to be a pastor. And it's such a big deal to be able to tell people that we have a physical embodied existence.
What did you learn while you were doing your research to prepare these materials for Prepared with a Reason?
Well, so one of the great books that I read before I actually started writing this, but really helped me understand this understanding of material progress, was a book called The New Science of Politics, written in the 1950s, I believe. It was a lecture as communism was progressing into the world. And he talks about Gnosticism in politics. You should read it. Amazing. But what it pointed me to was this idea that people think that if we can just whatever, it will fix everything. And it really laid out a historical path of this idea. And I think that is seeing it predicted in the 50s and watching it play out throughout history with communism and then American progressivism and all of the things. Like, he was a prophet, the guy who wrote this, really helped me see American history differently and world history differently. And then N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope, is another one that really helped me understand the division between the Christian worldview and the two that we've been talking about. These things really help give human beings purpose and help us to understand our role in creation. And it's great ideas that I love.
Our guest today, the Reverend James Hunick, he's pastor of First Lutheran Church in El Cajon, California. He's written Topic 7, Life After Death, in Prepared with a Reason from Concordia Publishing House. Pastor Hunick, thanks for the great conversation today.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.